Like to turn with us to just a portion of reading. We'll turn to the 28th chapter of the book of Genesis. And this thought came to me earlier this week. This one actually got here quicker than the one for this morning. And sometimes it happens in that order. Don't always understand why, but the Lord knows everything. And I'm thankful that He does. The 28th chapter of the book of Genesis in the 10th verse. And this says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows. And he lay down in that place to sleep." It says, "And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, the father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. It says, and thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and I will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, How dreadful is this place?" And that's not dreadful as in it's a terrible place to be. He's talking about what a place it was to be with the presence of the Lord. He said, "There is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first." It says, "And Jacob bowed a vow, saying, If God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this done which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." And that's our reading lesson for tonight. We have a few other scriptures we'll try to read if the Lord will help us. But we want to start here. And if we could title this tonight, it would be the house of God. Bethel, in its simplest form, means house of God. A lot of times, especially around home, there are lots of places, especially churches, that they call Bethel. A lot of times there's one in Indianapolis. I know there's one in Allen County. I don't know that there's any. There's New Bethel here in Goodlettsville. But there are lots of places and churches today that have put the name Bethel on there. And it's a fitting name for a church. But I want to talk about tonight the overall house of God. You see, here at Mount Calvary, we have a house of God. This place that we've entered into tonight is a house of God. But you see, this is a long time before the church would ever be established. We're talking about the very first book of the Bible. We're in the Old Testament, a long time before the New Testament church would ever be established by Jesus Christ Himself. You see, and Jacob was traveling, and he finally got to a place where he was ready to lay down. The sun had begun to set, and he found a good place to lay his head. You see, and he took these stones, and I'll make a side note here. I've never used a stone as a pillow, but I guess they satisfied Jacob. And they're going to be used again in just a moment. But as Jacob takes these stones and lays on them, something happens. You see, I don't dream a whole lot when I sleep, so I really don't understand necessarily what Jacob went through. But I'll tell you tonight, there's been a whole lot of times that God has met with me and allowed me to see things much like Jacob was allowed to see. You see, I don't think this was an ordinary dream that he just thought up or he just made up. You see, I believe God met with Jacob right here. I believe this is a place that Jacob, throughout all of his life, would be able to look back and say, God met with me there. God allowed me to see something in that place, and I'm going to show you why in just a moment. But as Jacob was laying there, if you look in the 12th verse, it says, and he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. You see, tonight, God communes with His people through the Holy Spirit. You see, God is not limited to just this place. You see, God is not just limited to four walls, just anywhere. God can meet anywhere at any time. There's been a whole lot of places where the house of God has been established, where God has saved souls all across this nation. But you see, I think there's something special about a house of God. There's something special about a place where God is. You see, I believe that God is everywhere. You see, I don't believe He has a boundary. I don't believe He has a place that He has to stay in. Sometimes God's people do that. They put Him in a box and say, God, You stay right there, and I'll come back and get You when I need You. But see, God goes everywhere. But you see, there is something special about the house of God. You see, every time that God communes with us here, we're able to feel something. You see, I can't feel what I feel here just everywhere. Now, I want to quantify that statement. I want to qualify it just real quick. You see, when you come into the house of the Lord, there's something different about that place. There's something different about how we gather together. Over in Hebrews it says, not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together, because the time is drawing nigh when the Lord shall return. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. You see what God's people do when they meet in a place like this? And it doesn't have to be a church building. If you remember those that have been here for very long, remember this church when it met in an old house. Long time before this beautiful building was here. But you see, God met there. It was a house of God. But you see, where God's people meet is a special place. And I'll jump way ahead of where I'm going, but I'll get there eventually if God will help us. But as I began to think about what Jacob saw here, Jacob was really starting something that would last for generations, generations, years, 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 and years. You see, something happened to Jacob there. And there's a reason that he called that place Bethel, which is technically how you're supposed to say it, but we have kind of tightened it together and called it Bethel, and that's just how we pronounce it nowadays. But if you look at the way it was spelled in the Bible, it was Bethel. And that's nothing to really get caught up on. But as I thought about what he said when he woke up in verse 16. Now he's laid here. I don't know the amount of time that Jacob has spent laying on his pillow of stone, but he's been there a while. It says, and he wakes up out of his place. And he says, surely the Lord is in this place. Now, how many of you all, I believe everybody here could raise their hand, I'm not going to ask you to do that. But how many of you all have ever felt the Lord somewhere else besides in a church house? I have. Everybody has. If you haven't, I'd be worried about where you stand with the Lord. If you've never felt Him anywhere other than in a church house drawing you to be saved, then God can do that anywhere. We know that. But if you've never felt the Lord outside of a church building, you're not in the shape that you need to be. God can meet you, and He meets me a whole lot driving down the road. I guess if I had to, I'd put a sign on the top of the car that says it's the Bethel for me. But see, that's a place that God communes with me. Many times, surely, God is in that place with me. But I'm glad there's a house of God that we have set up here that surely God is in. You see, this place here at Mount Calvary is designated for us to meet. You see, the church of Mount Calvary Missionary Baptist owns this building that's here. It's a physical place here in Nashville, Tennessee. And you see, somewhere recorded in some deed book, many years ago, this church organized and built and bought this property here. They were blessed with it. But you see, long before that, there was things here. There were things going on in this exact spot. But somebody someday felt the Lord drawing them here. And you see, years have been spent in this place. See, there are many here tonight that have been members here a long time. And I believe, no doubt, if anybody can say that God is in this place, surely you all have seen the power of God in this place. In this house of God. In this place where God has saved souls and met with His children time and time again, much as He did with Jacob. Aren't you glad that God is able to meet here? You see, there's lots of places tonight that are claiming to be houses of God. There are people meeting up and down Nolensville Road that have no idea about the Spirit of God. They don't know the first thing about God being in that place. He has no idea about them. He may know they're there, but they're not His places. You see, not everything has church above the door. Is a place of God. It's not His. See, I believe God has His church. And I believe they're established all across this world. You see, some meet in beautiful buildings like we have here. But if you look at some of the places in Africa, if you've ever seen some of those pictures, they don't meet in buildings with padded pews and grand pianos and sound systems and chandeliers. They don't have that. They just maybe have a mud hut where they go in and they pour their hearts out to God. I'm glad tonight that wherever God is a house of His. And I'm glad He's got one here at Mount Calvary. You see, Sister Kathy just recently was saved right here. Here at Mount Calvary. A lot of us were here to witness that. You see, this spot here is a special place to her. You see, I believe Jacob was a saved person long before he got here. Has to have been. But you see, much as Jacob found this place to be special to him, every one of us that have been saved by the grace of God has a place where God has met with us. You see, some have been in church buildings. I was saved, most of you all know, on the front seat. At Pleasant Hill, that was a place that God communed with me. And He saved my soul. Heard of people getting saved all kinds of places. You see, God's not limited to just here. And you see, here at this place, where Jacob was, there wasn't a house built. There wasn't a place there. But you see what he did? It says he took that stone that he'd been using as a pillow, and he set it up as a pillar. And he took oil and he poured it on it. He anointed that stone with that oil. And he called that place Bethel. And this vow Jacob made after he had left the stone. He said, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And all of that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. And I'm going to make just a side note just really quickly. I'm not going to chase the rabbit far. You see, as Baptists, a lot of times we put a big emphasis on a 10%. We talk about our tithes. And we say we've got to give 10%. You see, that is something that already belongs to the Lord. You see, it belongs to Him. You see, in order for us to have this beautiful building here, somebody's got to pay for it. Somebody's got to put some money in so we can keep the lights on. You see, we could move out of here. Mount Calvary can really assemble anywhere. But you see, this is His house here that we've been allowed to have. And Jacob was saying, I will give up the tenth that I have to the Lord. Now, I'm not going to get into offerings tonight, but anything over a tenth, anything over that offering, that tithe that you've given is an offering. But I'm not going to chase that rabbit that far tonight. Maybe the Lord will give me that for another time. But I believe Jacob was giving a very good instruction that would still last even until 2016. You see, God has His place. And you see, God needs what's His. He deserves what's His. And we should do that if it's at all possible. If you'll turn with me to chapter 35 of Genesis. You see, Jacob left that area. But that stone stayed right there. I don't believe that stone moved at all. I don't believe that stone left where it was. It didn't sprout legs and walk off, and I don't think anybody moved that stone. I believe it stayed right there. Turn with me to the chapter 35. We're going back to Jacob. Chapter 35, verse 1 says this, "And God said unto Jacob, Arise and go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make thee an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. And Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him." Remember this morning me talking about strange gods, idol gods? "Put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments." Why do you think Jacob said, "Be clean and change those garments"? Because he was going somewhere special. He was going somewhere that meant something to him. He was going somewhere where God was going to be. You see, as much as I believe that that place was a house of God and it meant something to Jacob, you see, I believe as we enter His house here at Mount Calvary, I believe we need to give God the very best that we've got because we're going to His house. If you were coming to my apartment, come in your t-shirt and jeans, shorts, whatever you got, I don't care. More than likely, you're going to catch me in my t-shirt and shorts. Don't care. You're not going to have to dress up and come there. You see, I don't even believe that people have to have a 15-piece suit and all that stuff to come to the Lord's house. But I do believe this. I believe people should have the best that they have to go to the Lord's house. And you say, "Preacher, why does that matter?" Because this is His house. And God deserves the very best. God deserves the very, very best that we've got when we go to worship Him. We should take the very best of our spirit and go worship. And we should give the very best of everything we've got Amen. For Him. He deserves that. I see a lot of people. And I'll say this tonight to this congregation of people. I don't have a problem with people coming as they are. I don't. To a point. You see, I believe people will come to church and they'll come to church with what they're comfortable with. And I believe that's okay. But you see, I believe once you get saved and you start learning about the church, I believe it's up to the church to teach you how that we should act and dress and accommodate ourselves in the house of God. I believe that's important because this is a special place. It's a very special place. And I believe that's something that we should do. I look on a lot of church websites, and a lot of times I'll look at the visitor page. How should I dress if I come the first time? You know what? If you come to Mount Calvary and you've got shorts and a t-shirt on, I'm okay with that. As long as you're here, bless your heart, I'm glad you're here. I'm thankful that you've come to the Lord's house. And we'll go with you as long as you want to go. And I'm so thankful that God allows us to have people that come here from all walks of life. You see, it doesn't take people that have on a suit and tie and maybe a cummerbund or whatever you wear to those big black suit tie affairs. I don't know what all it is. I'm not that fancy. You see, it doesn't take that. But what it does take is the best that we've got. You see, the very best that I have are the suits that God has allowed me to buy. So I think the very best I should do is wear those to His house and come the best that I can. I think that's what Jacob was telling those people. He says, "Be clean and change your garments because we're going somewhere special." You remember what Moses said when talking about that place where the burning bush was? He said, "Take off your shoes, for this is holy ground." He didn't want to desecrate the place that God was. He wanted to make sure that where He was a place that was respected and loved. I'm going to be honest with you all. I think Mount Calvary is blessed with a well taken care of building. It's been well taken care of through the years. It's built in 81 or something like that. And it's still in a beautiful condition. You see, I believe that's something the church must do as well. It ought to be the best looking building on the block. It ought to be the best looking thing that there is. It ought to have the best of the best. Why? Because it's God's house. It ought to look better than our own homes. Why? Because it's God's house. It's where He meets. It's His place that we come together as His people and worship Him. It ought to be the best. It ought to be. And I'm thankful that God has allowed that here at Mount Calvary. And I think we ought to keep it that way. We need to show the world out there that may pass by, that may look over here Monday through Friday and Saturday. They look over and they say, somebody loves the Lord enough to take care of the place over there. You never know. People look at that. I've driven by places and I thought, good gracious, don't love the Lord enough to cut the grass. Why in the world they love the Lord enough to go in there and worship Him? You may say, that's very trivial. But see, God blesses us with things, and I think we ought to take care of what God has blessed us. We've been talking about the church covenant and about how things on Wednesday night, how that God has given us things to take care of, our families and different things. You see, I believe God has given us this to take care of. And I went way sidetracked from where I thought I was going. But sometimes that happens with the Lord. You just never know. And I'll try to hurry along if the Lord will help us. It says, and let us arise and go up to Bethel. And I will make thee an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak, which is by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. It says, so Jacob came to the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. What does it say that he did? It says he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. Look down at the 13th verse. And I believe that Jacob built this altar. It says, and God went up from him in that place where he talked with him. It says, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. You see, it had been roughly, I'm not sure of the exact amount of years, it was somewhere around 15 to 20 years since Jacob had been here to Bethel. Been a long time. Been a few years since he'd been there, because he'd been away most of the time. In this time, when you went away from somewhere, a lot of times you didn't come back. There were not Cadillacs and Honda Accords to take you here, there, and yonder. You just didn't have that ability. So they were traveled much in a very much simpler way. You see, and God told Jacob, He said, you go and you build me an altar. Now, before you jump ahead of me, many years ago, this thing that we have before us tonight, this altar bench, did not used to represent in Missionary Baptist churches. It's a fairly new thing. It is, if you just want me to be truthful with you. If you look back at history books and things, they didn't have these benches in front of the pulpit area for people to pray. You see, this area here at Mount Calvary, we call our altar area. You see, really, in our churches, this is a very traditional thing. Now, before you take your psalm books and start launching them at me, this is something, a tradition that I'm not willing to let go of. A lot of traditions you can keep. I'm not worried about your traditions. A lot of traditions I like and I think we need to keep. But traditions should never be something that control a church. They shouldn't be. And I don't believe they do here. But see, this is really a tradition. But it's a tradition I'm thankful for. You may ask why that I'm thankful for it. If you look back in the Old Testament, any place that God met was usually around an altar. You see, they had to build their altars in a certain way so that God would take their sacrifices. You see, all out through the ages of time, there have been altars built, some out of wood, some out of stone. Some were pretty, some were not, in the temple, in the places there where they moved around, the temple that moved, and those places, they had altars in the holy place that the high priest went and he laid the sacrifices on. You know what happened in the holiest of holies in those places, in the tabernacle? You know what took place there when they laid those sacrifices on the altar? God communed with him there, the holiest of holies. Only the high priest could go in. See, and the high priest had to wear a little veil on the bottom of his garment when he went in to put these sacrifices on the altar. You know why he had to have that veil? because the power of God would come so strongly in that place. They wanted to make sure that the high priest was still alive. Let me ask you something. Wouldn't you just be thankful if God would come down in this place tonight so strongly that we could feel Him that way, that we had to have bells on our clothes because it was so strong that we knew that God was here? There was no doubt when they went in those holiest of holies that God was there. It was a special place. As far as traditions go, this is. But see, as Jacob built that altar, the Lord told him, you go do that at this special place, this house of God. You see, whoever many years ago decided we're going to turn a bench around and we're going to stick it in front of a pulpit, it's a pretty good idea. I think it was a good tradition that somebody started, and you may ask, preacher, why do you believe that? You look in the New Testament, most of those people, and I don't find anywhere recorded in the New Testament where you have a church that was located in anything like this. Sometimes they had to meet in caves. All throughout history, the church has taken on different configurations. Many years ago, they didn't have heating and air conditioning in churches. Didn't have bathrooms. Didn't have fellowship halls. Didn't have baptistries. Churches have been configured different ways for many years. If you look at old Sacred Harp churches where they had Sacred Harp singings, the way that the congregation would be set up based on how the parts sang. What a novelty that would be, where people sat with their parts so they could sing. But congregational churches have changed the way they're set up. It doesn't have to be set up in any certain way. There's only got to be a few things there for the house of God to be. You know what that has to be? The Spirit of the Lord. It's got to be there. We could meet in a tent next Sunday, and as long as God is there, it would be a house of God. It would be. But aren't you glad that God has made provisions for this church that every time we meet together, we can meet in a place like this? It's a comfortable place. It's a special place to me. You see, I'm the pastor here. It's my first pastorate. My first pastorate is in one of the most beautiful churches I've ever stepped foot in. What a special place that this is for me. I've been able to preach a lot of messages so far behind this whole sacred desk. This spot right here is, and you say, preacher, you don't stand in that spot very often, but this is a special place to me. Because this place, the Word of God goes out from, and I'm glad that it does. We could put the pulpit back there. Wherever you want to sit, it's fine. It doesn't matter to me what we meet in. But I believe this about the house of God. Wherever that it might be. You know, if somebody got in my car today and they started messing up that front seat, I'd be as mad as I could be. Mass preacher, it's just a front seat. There's been a lot of times, and you've heard this before, and you'll hear it all the time. There's a special spot there in that old front seat of that Honda Accord, because the Lord has met with me right there. As much as He's ever met with me in a church house, He's met with me in that old car. Most of you all have special places where the Lord meets with you. It doesn't have to necessarily be in a church house, but I'm going to tell you this. There's something sweet about going to the house of the Lord. You remember what David said in Psalms 122 and 1? He says, "For I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. Let us go into the place where God is." Aren't we glad tonight that God is here? I wouldn't want to be here. I wouldn't want to step through those doors if God was not here. Wouldn't want to be here. I've been in a lot of places where there's a church sign out front, church above the door, and you walk in and God's not there. It's not a place I want to be. I want to be where God is. And if God starts meeting in the parking lot out there, I'm going to be the first one out there. Because I want to meet you there and I want to be the first one out there to experience what God has. You see, my prayer every time that I pray for this place, much like the way Jacob went and built his altar to the Lord, is that God would meet us here. You know, I tell you this all the time, this whole bench down here, it's nothing special. It's really not. It's made of some cloth, some padding, probably some plywood, some nice decorative ends on it. Got some nails and maybe some glue on there. Staples probably to keep the padding on there. But you see, what this represents tonight is an altar to God. I am really ashamed of places that are taking it out. You say, preacher, you said it was a tradition. They didn't even used to have it. But you want to know what this symbolizes when I walk into a church? That there's possibly, I'm going to tell you, because not everywhere that has one of those is a sound church. Doesn't mean it's a true church. That's not an indicator. But what it means is that there's somebody that has used that bench. Just as much as people were laying their sacrifices on an altar of stone, you know what many people have found down at an altar in one of our churches? Is salvation. You want to know what they offered to God? Themselves, the only sacrifice they had. The only thing they had. And they laid themselves on an old altar. You know what happened? We didn't see it tonight. Sister Kathy got saved. I didn't see a lightning bolt shoot from heaven down to the ceiling of that church. But you want to know what happened? The Spirit of God reached His hand down and touched Sister Kathy's soul right there. Right in this altar where God meets with people. I'm glad that we still have our old-fashioned altars where God can meet. He can meet anywhere. But I'm glad that we have a place designated here where God's people can come in and seek the will of the Lord in this house of God. Amen. Oh, I long for the days when people came into the house of God with smiles on their faces because they were happy to be there. Because they knew when they got there, somebody was already going to be there. If you come to my apartment, more than likely you expect me to be there. If you start knocking on the door and you never find anybody there and you can't get in, you probably may not come back. May not know if I'll be there. But you know what I expect every time that I come to this place? I expect God to be here. And if you don't expect God to be here, He just might not show up. Told you this many times, I'm fixing to close. Told you this many times. But I would come up here and sit in this office a lot in the last year. Had some good times. That old chair in there. Talking to the Lord down on my knees in front of the desk. I'd mosey out here and sit in some of the benches. I'd just close my eyes. You all weren't here. Nobody was here but me. You know who met me here? The Lord. I've prayed in lots of different positions and places in this church, begging the Lord that He would help us. Not only that we would grow physically, but that we would grow spiritually. If we grow physically, wonderful. If we grow spiritually and never grow physically again, you know, that's the Lord's doing. But if we grow spiritually, that's what really matters. Because if we come in here, plop ourselves down, and just say, Lord, we made the effort, do Your part, we're going to be in for a sad, rude awakening. We need to expect God to be here and enjoy being in God's house. The Bible says where there's love, there's liberty. There's love in this church. And I believe there's liberty for people when they come here to serve Him. And I'm thankful it's that way. But I've said in many places in here, close my eyes and just listen for a little while. And you know what I've been able to hear? The singing of the saints that have met here for years. I can hear the shouts of God's people. I can almost visualize people coming to the altar and finding the Lord. I hope that's not a vision of the past, but I hope it's a vision of the future. I do. And you know what it can be? It can be a vision of the future in this place. I don't believe God is done with Mount Calvary Church. I don't believe that, not even at all. I've got one other place I want to read tonight, and I'll close. I may have it marked. I do. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. It's beautiful scripture here. I'm not going to read the 8th verse, but you all know that's one of my favorites. I'm not going to go that far. 6th chapter of Isaiah says this. first verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. It says, and he stood, and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face. And with twain he covered his feet. And with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And this is what I long for here at Mount Calvary, is this next verse. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. I don't necessarily want this place to be filled with physical smoke, but I want it to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that is what this is talking about. I believe the Lord was meeting here with him. And you know what happened when this happened to Isaiah? Something miraculous happened to him. Isaiah was a prophet of the Lord. And you listen to the next few verses. As I preached this morning about laying our idols down, getting rid of the things, when God's Spirit starts meeting here in this type of way, you'll see saints of God moving out of their seats because they realize just how unimportant they are, how little that they are. Isaiah, a prophet of God, said these words, then said I, woe is me, for I am unclean, undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Oh, wouldn't you want to see the King, the Lord of hosts, come here? The president can come tomorrow, and I'd just say, well, I'll take you a tour on the building. That's a nice place. I'm glad you're here. I don't. If he comes, that's fine. If he don't, he's not going to, but wouldn't give you really much of a dime for him to come. He needs to hear the gospel and get saved, I believe. He can come, Queen of England, she can stop by, we'll roll out the red carpet for her. The one who really needs the red carpet is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They can all stop by. Every dignitary in Nashville, Tennessee can come here next Sunday. That's fine. But you know who the honored guest would be? The Lord of Lords. And that's who we want here. I hope the senators and the House of Representatives people here in Nashville, I wish they'd come. I do. I'd give anything to preach to them. I'd tell them the exact same message that I did this morning. I'd preach the same thing that I did tonight. King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that's who we want. It says, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hands, which he had taken the tongs from off, what? The altar. It says, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. If Isaiah could say, woe is me, what would we be able to say? Woe is us. For we are of unclean lips. Don't we want to see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords be exalted here, high and lifted up? Oh, that's what I long for. We heard a man Friday morning at Asylum Association say this. He said, I don't care about emotional services. And emotion happens with people when the Spirit of the Lord gets in there. I'm glad it does. But I want spiritual services where God is the center of. That's all we have here at Mount Calvary. It's all that we need. He's all that we need. We sing that from time. He's all we need. He's all we need. I'm glad that He meets here. Really, there ought to be a sign out front that said, if you want to see God, come here. Because I believe He manifests Himself in this place often. He has since I've been here. And I don't believe that's going to let up. I believe it will continue. I pray that we'll have that mindset as we come to the house of God. May God bless you this evening, while we stand together, while we sing. We didn't have a handshake this morning, but it'd be wonderful tonight for us to come around and shake hands one with another, love on each other. I believe that's in order. So while we stand together, let's come around, shake hands one with another.